I spoke on what do you do when tragedy comes to your life. Last week I spoke on your life God's way and how to make decisions that will move you into the plan that God has for your life. This last Thursday I spoke on anxiety, dealing with anxiety, and I can't believe. Up last night I'm still getting messages about people that are facing and dealing anxiety that have never come to church here and then just reached out to me and asked me for help. They said, how can I get that? You can go to the website, The City Church, at any time. All the messages that anybody speaks are on there, and you can listen to them for free. But I want you to know that today, everything that we say is going to point you to that place of communion and encounter with God. Because when you give your life to Christ, your life becomes, you become born again through faith in Jesus, and you become a partaker of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for you and I. His body that was broken for us, and his blood that was shed for you and for me. And don't ever lose the power that resides within those words. His body that was broken, his blood that was shed for you and I. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I think about this and I read this at the worst moment in my life, at the most devastating point in my life, when I was at my lowest, not when things were going bad, but when I was participating and doing things at the very lowest point in my life. The Bible says Christ died for me. Right there. When you watch that video of Larry today and he's talking about this DWI and that DWI and him going through that, right at the moment of his deepest despair, Jesus had already died, given his life for him, and knew that he would be sitting in here next to his wife today. Isn't that beautiful? That's a testimony of what God does. And he goes on to say, Paul says, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us. That while you and I, not just somebody else, while you and I were sinners, were broken, were busted, were jacked up, were without nothing, where we're at our lowest ebb in life, Christ came in and he died for you and I. You can't be good enough and you can't be bad enough. He died for you and I. And then he goes on to say, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? My goodness, that's powerful. And then John says in John chapter 6, he says, most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me has everlasting life. You need to see that. You need to write that in your Bible. You need to underline that in your heart. He who believes, John chapter 6, verse 47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I want to ask you today, do you believe in Jesus? I'm not talking about a church or some type of organization. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the one that 1 John says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by him and not anything was made but wasn't made by him. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to know, do you believe in him today? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first in Genesis. He was in Revelation. He will be. Do you believe in him? Because if you believe in him, the Bible says you will have everlasting life. Jesus in John chapter 11, when he met Mary concerning their brother Lazarus who had died, Mary says to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And he says to her, your brother will rise again. She goes, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus looked at her and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I hold the keys of death, hell, and the grave in my hand. I am he that liveth and was dead. And now behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Clap for him. He says to her, your brother will rise again. She says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, he who dies and believes in me will live again, and he who lives will never die. And then he says this, do you believe this? And I want to ask you today that if you hear nothing else today, that if you hear or you experience nothing else this week, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, you'll not only get help through this life, you'll not only get a step up and you'll have favor come on your life like you'd never had before. He'll open up doors for you and close doors that you never thought possible. He'll connect you with people that you hadn't even known. If you believe in him, you will have everlasting life. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died because they only wanted to partake in things that were temporal, not in things that are eternal. He said, this is the bread that comes out of heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus isn't talking about literally eating his body, but he's talking about participating because he gave his body for the world. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And the Jews quarreled among themselves. How can this man give his flesh to eat? Jesus was saying something that was a spiritual truth, and they're taking it in another direction, but he continually camps on it. Jesus said, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the Father has sent me, I live because of the Father. So who feeds on me will live because of me. This, again, he says, is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread, he'll live forever. He who participates, he who brings Christ into his life, he who makes Jesus number one and says, Lord, apart from everything else, I believe in you. I trust in you. I make you my Savior. It's not necessarily an emotional experience, although emotion may follow, but it's a faith decision that you will say today that you will make him number one above everything else and all else. You will make Jesus first place in your life. And when you do, he says, I'll give you life and I'll give it to you more abundantly here on this earth, but I'll also give you everlasting life in heaven. You shall live and never die. You say, come on, preacher. People are dying all around me. Can I tell you today that inside you is a spirit and your soul, which is the real you? And that which is the real you will never die when your life is hidden in the palm of the hand of Almighty God. And all you need to do today is say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. And I want to encourage you, even while I'm speaking, just for a couple more moments, that if you've never done that, that you need to do that today. You need to say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord. You might not see any flashes out of heaven. And by the way, you all look tired today for having an extra hour's sleep. Were you woken up last night like I was by the thunder and the claps? My goodness, I jumped out of bed 6 inches and I'm like, what is happening to the house right now? First, I thought it was just my wife snoring, but I held on a little bit longer. No, I'm just joking, baby. I love you. You know that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of all glory. God's life brings us joy and peace because no matter what comes by us, God can help us to overcome it when he's living inside of us. And when we partake in communion today, we are partaking in the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. When Jesus says, "This is my body," he's saying, "This is how I'm going to deliver you." When he says, "This is the cup, this is the new covenant of my blood," he's saying, "This is how I will pay for your deliverance today." In baptism, we come in contact with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But in communion, we come in contact with the living bread who was sacrificed on the cross for your sin and for mine. When we come to his table today, and when we participate and we receive, this is the moment that God's power will come into your life, and it will have control over whatever is trying to overshadow you today. But I'm encouraging you today not to come in a half-hearted way. I'm here to encourage you to come in a wholehearted way, to press into him, to believe God for power in your life, to believe him for a miracle in your life, to believe him for you to overcome the struggle, overcome the lack, overcome the hindrances in your life, to believe him to push the powers of darkness out of your home, out of your family, and let him be the light of the world right in your life today. And to him that believes, to know that he has crushed the powers of darkness and the situations that are participating in your life today. Maybe it's with your marriage. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with your parents. Maybe it's something that seems to try to control you. He is here to heal your and my brokenness, to deliver the addicted, to free the one who is held back in their life because of some unforgiveness that seems to plague you and seems to be bigger to you than the blood of Christ is. And God says, "I've come to help you with that today." Because when you come to the table of the Lord, when you participate in the blood and the drink, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, you bring all that to him. And he says, "I am more than enough. I am more than enough of your situation, your sickness, your disease, whatever it is in your life that you are dealing with today." Jesus says, "I am more than enough." One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 11:6. "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That when we come to him, we don't come with just, I'm going to do this. But we come with a faith in our heart, believing that God is going to take us beyond the limits of our impossibilities and bring us into the divine realities that can be our outcome at the end of this moment together today. Whatever the problem, whatever the situation, this is the moment for you and I to participate in the greatest plan that God has ever created for humanity. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Isn't that beautiful today? That God calls you his own people. You are children of God. Amen. We ought to clap on that today. You are God's family. And I believe that when this happens in our hearts and in our lives today, and I want everybody that's going to help serve communion, I want you to come now. I believe that when the bread of life becomes a part of our life, that supernatural realities will become a reality in our life. Some of you have come today with genuine needs in your life. I want you to come to God and believe that he is. Some of you have come with heartache in your heart today. Come to him and believe that he is. Go ahead and begin to serve right now. When you receive the bread and the cup, hold it, and we will all participate together this morning. There will be great power demonstrated in this house. There will be great power demonstrated in somebody's family today. There will be testimonies that will arise from this house today, not anything that a preacher has said, but what the power of God has done. On a November 5th, 2017, at just a couple minutes after 11 o'clock, that God has descended upon a house, upon a life, upon a family. Some of you came with questions in your heart. You're like, I don't know what to do. He's going to answer those questions for you this morning. Second Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He changes us, not into what we were, but He changes us to look like who we've been created to be. Some of you don't even know yet who you're going to be. You think Larry Klisch knew 2 years ago who he would be today? I could go up and down the aisles in this place. I could point people, tell you story after story. God is changing you and I into what we have been created to be. John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He cleans you. Some of you come in today, you feel darkened in your heart. God is cleaning you. When you receive the bread and the cup, hold it. Just close your eyes just for a moment. Just listen to as I speak God's word into your life. Psalm 119, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. He will give you a greater understanding. He will help you to know what it is you are called to do. I just sense this right now as I said that. Some of you are facing some decisions today. The Lord's going to help you. This is crazy what I'm going to tell you right now. This just dropped into my heart. Somebody is going to, I felt, you're going to go to an attorney this week and you have it within your power to execute something. But I just sense to tell you, I don't know anything about anyone, but I just feel this from the Lord, that if you'll trust in God, you'll lay that on hold, He's going to give you a better answer than you can do in your own strength. He's going to show you and give you understanding. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He will lead you this week, today. He'll begin to lead you in the direction that you are called to go, the right direction for your life. Psalm 19:11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. God will warn you of impending danger. He will put a sense in you. If you're walking in a direction, He'll cause you to have a knowledge. Don't go there. Don't participate. Stay away from that. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody served? If anybody has not been served, put your hand up real high so we can see it. Anybody not been served, put your hand up real high so I can see it. Thank you, Lord. Different cultures, different ages, different color, different backgrounds, all one body. All one. Thank you, God. Take the bread. Lord, you redeem me not with silver or gold, but by the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your grace today, for your love, for your power. The scripture says he gave thanks, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When you partake of this today, by faith, you are remembering what he has done for you at the cross. Let's participate together. The blood, Isaiah 53 says he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. Yet, listen to this, he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was bruised for our iniquitous old nature. The chastisement for our peace was put on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He took the cup. He said, "This is the new covenant, my blood. It's the payment for the deliverance, for the healing, for salvation, for whatever it is you need." He shed his blood. Oh, he paid for it. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, God. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Prayer people, make your way down to the front. For some of you, you were touched today. I believe for some, I'm going to hear testimonies of how God touched your life. For some of you, he has intervened in your physical and he is healing your body. For some of you, it's in your home, it's a marital issue. For some, it's been an issue with addiction. Praise your name, Lord. Father, I just ask you now. My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Someone here today, Debbie, just a little bit softer. Someone here today, I sense, this is what just came to me, that you've been in the fight of your life. And he's going to help you with that. I'm going to close in prayer. I don't know if you have the ability, if that's you, to make it down here when I close in prayer. But I want you to come to the altar, because I'm going to have these folks pray over you. But that's the word that came to me. You've been in the fight of your life. God's answer for you has come today. God, I just want to say thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. I thank you for the youngest to the eldest today. I thank you for the love of Jesus that has come to live inside of us. I pray your grace. I pray your love. I pray your purpose over every single life here today. Lord, I pray favor and blessing over every home, over every life. And I give you thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you so much. If you need prayer, you come on down before you leave today.